And Anca, I appreciate the invite. Talk a little bit about volatility. My name is Samantha LeDuc. I am founder of LeDucTrading.com and CIO of LeDuc Capital LLC. I trade for a living and I support clients who do the same. So I appreciate very much your time to learn a bit about volatility. I consider it something to embrace, not fear. I know that this segment, lots of people have a little different perspective about it, but my goal is really to better understand it and then navigate it. And it's a kind of a running joke, but I raised three teenagers. And so I kind of say that's how I became really good at this game called volatility, and have learned to actually leverage it for a lot of outsized gains for myself and my clients. So without further ado, just to give you a little background, and let me close the window because you might have some road noise. First day of autumn, but it still feels like summer. Anyway, I am looking at, for those who don't know who I am, just giving you a little bit of a background on myself, which is to say that I am very much focused on market timing calls. So lots of folks kind of put their specialty into a particular venue, whether it be technical analysis or fundamental or macro. I also really focus on intermarket analysis. I'll show that to you a little bit later to help me time volatility. I use quant as a backdrop to understand market structure. I use macro, which is macroeconomics. So for example, today was Fed Day and very much interested in policy, monetary policy as it relates to interest rates, as it relates to risk on, risk off in equities. Fixed income is a big deal. Interest rates are a big deal. And lots of folks playing in momentum trades and big tech don't realize it's actually a bond proxy. So that's definitely a backdrop. And today was, you know, all a flutter about a hawkish Fed. Anyway, I am a contributor on national media, so I can lend some of those thoughts or insights into the market and predict, try anyway, where it's going. Grateful to have been on Bloomberg and CNBC. Linsanity was a podcast. You all know Howard Lindzen from StockTwits. He founded it. He does a great podcast. I'm sure you've heard of him. But the point is, it's my kind of claim to fame that I have this kind of market timing focus, and a lot of that is the ability to time volatility. And one of the ways that I do that is by looking at sector rotation. So there's always a bull market somewhere, and that means that money rotates from overbought to oversold sectors and themes that are obviously being supported oftentimes in a macro backdrop, like inflationary impulses, the momentum plays, you know, the SPACs, something that's speculative, doesn't matter. There's Bitcoin. So these underlying stocks that trade inside the sectors can create obviously a lot of momentum. And then when it stalls, that money starts getting into profit-taking mode and the money flows into other sectors. And so my job is to follow that. And then I have a running mantra, which is, in lieu of sector rotation, we will have volatility. And volatility is what reprices everything. And it's kind of timely because 2 weeks ago today, I posted a client note, and I will kind of go in and dig into that, that said, in lieu of volatility, we'll have volatility, and I'm not seeing a lot that I like. So careful, it's time to take care, preserve capital, because I think we're going to get some volatility into FOMC and then likely get supported after that, after FOMC announcement, when they kick the can down the road, basically say that they're going to do this in November. So that's exactly what played out. Now, whether you call that lucky or good, that's a lot of estimating how we're going to do with the, you know, impending volatility when the wall of worry is no longer climbing, right? We just have this grinding market. Once in a while, we actually do have volatility come in, and we've had a 5% pullback, nothing major, but it can be a tremor for more serious damage, right? And this is what I'm kind of paid to look for. So I do share all of my analysis live. I have a live trading room in the morning. I also have a Slack, a client workspace, where I post all of my trade ideas, setups, annotated charts, intermarket analysis, macro, you name it. So everything that I'm fleshing out as a durable theme trade, to a swing trade, to a volatility warning, to market moves, it's all in there. So that's my value add for clients, is the ability to kind of take that data that's out there and then create context and a tradable setup. So I call it macro to micro, and it's for active traders and investors. But when it comes right down to it, I am using technical analysis, which many of you are familiar with, you know, as far as when to enter and exit a trade. I'm still using that as the core setup for a trade, but knowing what to trade and why is really important to my value for clients. So, and basically staying long and strong until I fear that volatility is going to enter the market like it did the past 2 weeks is why I have made this presentation for you today. So discretionary trading, for those who are, you know, into it, it means that you're making your choices. You're not throwing it over the wall for a money manager, or, you know, you're basically, you're do it your own yourself hedge fund. So you're either doing this part-time, full-time, you're new, you've been doing it for a while, it doesn't matter, but you are managing your own money, you're making your trading investments, and it's discretionary. So that is very different than someone else making the decisions. It's very different also from algo trading, which is automated trading strategies. I also offer those. They're very much standalone indicators separate from my analysis, my discretionary analysis. But the discretionary trading is what I do every day. So again, that trading room where we're going over, you know, what did Powell just say and what does it mean? And then how to trade the dollar based on it. And by the way, dollar makes the weather. It can be a wrecking ball. So now how do we deal with precious metals and, you know, commodities, because a higher dollar is de facto, you know, headwind to commodities. So interest rates, all that stuff is the macro, but it's also just what's the chase du jour. So there's always going to be some excitement, whether it be an earnings announcement. FedEx, for example, reported today, and it was a big miss. Aside from the fact that they have been a short swing trade setup for weeks for my clients, they also missed earnings today. And it was a bad miss. They were down 8.5%. So those types of follow-up, if you will, trades, but also if something is exciting in the SPAC land or biotech or just, again, like a Fed event, we're going to be chasing as well. So there's different time frames involved in my trade analysis. And the reason I bring that up is because I'm looking for volatility in all of those cases. So whether it's a biotech that we see moving that I've heard has some really good science behind it, or it's a cult favorite on a hyper growth play, or, you know, a new IPO issue, or it's just Apple has an event and it's selling off, and those are fabulous options for my clients to, you know, grab, and I give them the price levels. It's all about volatility. Volatility coming into an underlying stock, and then of course sector rotation, and then when stuff stops rotating, it gets a little quiet in the market. That's when volatility has a chance to kind of rear its ugly head. But I contend volatility is actually healthy. Natural pullbacks are really productive. It's an opportunity to see how the market wants to handle it, right? So buy the dip or sell the rip, and we're going to talk about that as well. So I've kind of gone over a little bit of how this my approach to analysis, and then distilling that into actionable trades for clients and how I deliver those. Let's get into some other examples here of where it serves its purpose to kind of look at trends big picture and then only worry about volatility once in a while. So there are plays that have been inflation related. Things over paper has been a big theme. Now, you know, normal durable trends will still have, you know, volatility in earnings or the like. But ultimately, as long as they stay, for me, on a weekly path above the the 10-week moving average, they don't close below it, then it's good to go. So it's basically a durable trade, and I'm looking for those on a trend basis. And then once they start to get in distribution mode, like recently commodities, the Evergrande Chinese real estate developer, you know, has all kinds of credit risk. And so the commodities and all China regulations are starting to clamp down on commodities. So they started to come under some profit taking across the board. So that's also, by the way, healthy. It's just a little bit sudden, but that's the volatility that I want to be able to time for those who are long more of these durable trades. So shipping has been a big theme. Lumber was a big theme last year. Uranium continues to be, etc. So I am still looking for sectors that are outperforming. Like right now, I'm worried about oil. I don't think it's such an easy long anymore. Natural gas has been a call since May. It's been fabulous, but now this is also undergoing profit taking. So everything has a season, and once it gets too extended, it starts to undertake basically some selling, you know, some resistance that meets with that auction of buyers and sellers. And my job is to kind of figure out how much volatility is coming into that space to identify how to protect those profits or when to enter again. Some types of volatility is not expected. So back in summer of last year, I recommended GameStop long before all of this meme mania in January, okay? And it was my literally 11 to 40 stock. And it was back in July of last year. Really, really felt confident it was going to go to 40 bucks. Did I expect 240? No. Did I expect 480? Absolutely not. Not in a snowball's chance. But sometimes volatility comes in and it produces outsized moves to the upside or the downside. And this was one particular case where it really was a freak of nature type of move, but it ended up being on the right side of the trade. So volatility can be fabulous if you're an options player, because implied volatility is where you get your juice. It's where you get your price appreciation, the rate of change, if you will, of that price increase or decrease is from implied volatility. So that's a really powerful tool to know about also when trading options. So volatility is something to expect. It helps that, you know, the market health, if you will, you know, that kind of like wave action is normal. A shallow pullback and then a breakout and then a shallow pullback and a breakout. It's normal in stocks. It's normal in markets. So too much volatility can be very dangerous. Recently, since this month, we've had an 86% surge in volatility, the VIX index. So that's obviously created a pullback in some stocks, but we were already correcting under the surface for a while. So I want to show that a little bit. Hold on one second. There we go. I need my Slack channel so I can kind of show that to you in just a second. So I run a channel in for clients called Intermarket Tells, and I track what's going on with all kinds of breadth and cumulative volume, as well as, you know, funky stuff. Some of it's known, some of it isn't known. But I can tell when we start to get some selling underneath the surface. This was the SPX McClellan Summation Index that started to roll over. And it's, by the way, still is. This is from the 16th, but just to show you that back then, this was really showing that we had some weakness underneath the surface. There were some other particular events that I was worried about, which is VIX, right? We had come up to a resistance level, but it looked like we were going to fail. This is midterm VIX. This is the daily VIX, and this is SPX. So we were just kind of chopping around this channel, but it looked very much like we were going to have one more pop and then drop, and sure enough, we did. So the breadth, though, underneath is also, hold on, let me just get that for you. Sorry, I'm looking for a particular one that I didn't bring up in advance. All right, so here, for example, is NYSE. It happens to be a chart of the NYSE, which is great for charting. The equivalent might be the Russell IWM, but for the most part, you can see how this whole year, basically, after having a tremendous run-up, we've gone sideways in time, much more than price. This looked like it was starting to roll over, so I'm watching these types of breadth indicators under the surface to see see if we're going to start to get volatility. And by the way, we did, right? So this came down. Some other charts that kind of show me underneath the surface that we're still having some struggles in keeping the market bid, right? So here's an example, the S&P 100. The number of stocks that were above the 200-day moving average was 99% back in April, okay? When I shared this with clients, I said, careful, this is a trigger below 80. So we've dropped from 99% to 80% of stocks that were above their 200-day moving average. And you've heard the expression, above the 200 is bullish, below is bearish. Nothing good happens underneath the 200-day. Whatever, it's true. So now we're obviously down here. And since I took this and warned clients on actually September 8th, we've actually fallen even further. So even though the top of market action, meaning the S&P price, has only fallen 5% from peak to trough, under the surface, we've had a lot more correction. So I can show you this breadth, basically, deterioration. And I show that to clients to say, warning, we've got some volatility that I think is going to come in. And then there are some macro events like the FOMC or options expiration. For those who are familiar with, we had a triple witching on September 17th, and it was actually the second largest options expiration quarter in history. So 3.2 or 3.4 trillion options expired. So I made a market call on the 8th, and I said, all combined, I gave all kinds of reasons. I'm just telling you, you know, basically what they were. All combined looks like a nice shorting opportunity next few days with a buy the dip opportunity post FOMC, should the Fed defer, as I expect and wrote about last week, the QE tapering from September FOMC meeting to the November FOMC meeting. So lucky or good, that is exactly what happened. So we started selling on the 8th. I gave levels. VIX is of course a really important level for creating more drama, but it hadn't triggered yet. Interestingly enough, it had really kind of stayed muted. And in fact, in a follow up, I had mentioned, just get this here. Where is it? Yeah, even on Friday the 17th, VIX had still not really exploded to the upside yet. Just this is an example, right? So my warning of the 8th, my follow-up every single day, plus I post all my levels, etc. And then even on Friday the September 17th, I warned VIX is way too tame for what is happening in currency and by extension commodity land. Careful. We ended up having a very large gap down on Monday, as you probably remember, since it was just 2 days ago. So that was how I was able to kind of go back in time, identify that we had some volatility most likely coming into the market from this type of intermarket analysis, among others, right? Which is basically really trying to size up what's going to happen with volatility. And as volatility percolates higher, obviously that puts pressure. This is midterm volatility, SVXY. Forgive me, I didn't label that. Puts pressure on the spiders, the NASDAQ, small caps, diamonds, all that, to come back down. And that's obviously very tradable. There's a lot of other stuff that goes into this, cumulative volume. I do a lot of ratio work. I do lots of charting of big tech as well as the underlying. So even currency, even emerging markets, this is definitely, a big deal for me to be able to, big picture, see where we're at with China and where we're, positioning in bonds. So long story short, I'm doing a lot of this intermarket analysis. And when I get to a point where I think we're going to have some further downside like we did, this is where I'm posting it for clients to kind of be on the alert and then position for volatility with puts on indices or individual issues. It's basically my thing as it relates to identifying what's next in the volatility rollover. And we sure did have a lot on that particular day as well. You can see this is the same chart of the New York Stock Exchange percentage of stocks above their 50-day. We did roll over, right? So I had just shown this to you prior. So here's the updated one for the 20th. And here's the advanced decline line for globally, by the way, advanced decline line. We rolled over. We also had that piercing signal on this particular breadth indicator, et cetera, et cetera. So I just kind of update this because we we didn't have that follow through safety bid, if you in the indices, we didn't have the buy the bid, not at all. They basically, the market participants stood aside and said, you know what, we're not sure what the Fed's going to do. We're not sure about the debt limit. We're not sure about Evergrande. So we're going to stay aside. And basically, you need the continuous buying activity to keep the market bid. So in lieu of that, they're not buying in a particular, they're net selling. That creates that air pocket of risk. And that's exactly how I referred to it, was an air pocket of risk. So just kind of levels also in VIX can be traded. And I know lots of people say they don't think VIX can be charted. I 100% disagree. I'm a very much a pattern recognition kind of gal, and I like to look at where VIX is kind of stabilizing on weekly and daily charts and how it closes. And one of the tells that I have is, I will show you right here. Hold on 1 second. All right. Good old-fashioned wedges and, you know, trend lines, and basically said that looks like a nice morning star reversal, which it was. This is on a weekly, by the way. This is a daily. This is an hourly. Gave levels, especially as it relates to this whole complex of options. At the time, I had mentioned there was a very, very large financed call spread coming in November for VIX, and I had suggested that was a really good idea because it looked elevated, and it looked like we were going to not only close really well that week, but the following week was inside and supported. And then this is what happened, obviously, Monday. We're still actually on this close above the 200 day for VIX. One tradable instrument for those who like VXX. This 2653 happens to be monthly support. And this is a, you know, very simple trend line on a weekly that I thought looked pretty bullish once it got and stayed above 2653. What actually happened on Monday is that it gapped above 5 levels of resistance. So it got above the trend line. It got above the monthly support. This happens to be a Keltner channel and a 10-week, both of which were resistance, and then it just got up there and it sat there, went through all kinds of levels in, you know, big drama, right? Literally VIX from September 1st, right here, from September 1st, and I called it on September 8th, we went 86% from this trough to that peak was an 86% move in the VIX index. So I definitely think you can chart this stuff and trade it. It's not something that only requires higher math skills in options. So some of the plays, though, that we're still doing really, really well, and by the way, that was my client note. It's hovering around its 200-day. It's bullish above 1961, bearish below. And, of course, that VXX still needs to get and stay above 2653 for excitement to really take hold. We had all that excitement happen, okay? And we had lots of pullback in the indices. And dollar was bid, the euro dollar sold off. That was also a theme that I had. Oil is still muted despite unprecedented draws the past few, I think 4 or 5 weeks running as a result of shutdown because of Hurricane Ida and then Nicholas and, you know, whatever, it's hurricane season. But we still have not broken higher in oil, which is not bullish. But big picture, commodities were still extremely well bid. Inflation has been sticky. Which in time will lend itself to volatility of equities. But for right now, the long themes of shipping and coal and uranium and nat gas and select oil and gas plays were still really, really bid, while the indices themselves were actually chopping about and undergoing that volatility, that repricing. So it doesn't mean that it's all hands off everything. You can still have some fabulous rotation, but the point is that there was nothing new. That was really a big concern on Friday the 17th, where I noticed bonds were selling off with stocks. By the way, that's not usually healthy. And then you had the Evergrande headlines, but you also had the debt ceiling and fiscal stimulus delays, and all of that creates fear, right, in the market. So particular levels were taken out. The dollar was strong. That's a headwind. Commodities were starting to come back, and it was a warning that I had. Watch your cues, which meant the major tech plays, the ETFs of XLK, for example, and NASDAQ Black and New York Fang. And let me just show you what that looks like. Okay, so you've got the Q's. Okay, nice head and shoulders pattern right here. That was my first price target. That's actually my second, and we haven't hit yet. Okay, we also had Fang, which is the same type of look on a daily. And basically, these are the large tech that basically you can, big tech, Apple and Microsoft, and even I think Twitter is thrown in there, and Tesla. And then XLK, same shape, where you have this head and shoulder formation, looked like it was going to head down to where it had first kind of moved higher. It completely retraced, all with a gap down. And in the interim, of course, VIX exploded. So that was completely anticipated. I had literally sent these charts to clients. Here's a head and shoulder. Here's also some danger. We're coming back down. It was a fake breakout, and now we got a fast failure. And that was really also seen in the Qs. Hopefully you can see that. This was resistance once we got above in NASDAQ. This completely rolled over, and then we gapped down on Monday, and here we sit underneath the breakout level. So volatility of NASDAQ is still a risk. Until we fill that gap and then move higher, we have broken the trend. We literally, on this 10-week, have gotten below it. And until we close above the 10-week, volatility is still a threat. So that was basically how I, you know, and then I can technically kind of go in on an hourly or daily and share with clients where I'm looking at particular levels, and then option tactics to wrap those, you know, ideas into actual trades so they can bank on the downside. And then once we stabilize, we go back up, right? So that's the plan. Or if we get too extended in a volatility move, those outliers will also revert. Like on Monday, we actually traded down 3.2%, but we ricocheted up off some key moving averages to close at a negative 1.7% in the SPY. So those are intraday moves that also crush volatility, and they're very, very playable. So my goal anyway was just to show that volatility can come in and reprice, but it's also something that you can see with, you know, kind of an open mind. I'm flexible as it relates to price action. I lawyer the trade, bullish and bearish. I'm looking for my intermarket analysis to confirm a direction or a divergence. In this case, there were lots of divergences that were setting up. In fact, in one particular indicator, two indicators that I use, proprietary indicators, they were showing net selling, not net buying, had come in actually on June 9th. June 9th, I went back and looked at the news to say, hey, what was that such a big deal about June 9th? Like, why was that the top, even though we didn't literally pull back until September 8th? What happened between June 9th and September 8th? And it was the day that the CPI came out, the inflation print, that showed a 5% year-over-year increase. Big, scary number. So big, scary number meaning wages still do not outflank that inflation print. So it's harder on the economic growth. It's harder on consumer spending. And it would also show that the Fed is potentially falling behind the curve in getting in front of inflation. Long story short, the market started selling under the surface. Net buying went down starting in June, even though the market didn't pull back until just 2 weeks ago. So those are the kind of things that I'm looking for to identify volatility. And then this was Monday when we came in, you know, we had a big, nice VIX surge, boom, and lots of red on the board. And that's really a lot of fun to be positioned for it. So volatility for me is not something to be feared. Again, I'm looking for it. I set up the particular trades that I'm most interested in using risk-defined options and very liquid issues, you know, whether it be the indices themselves or, you know, major stocks, summer themes like the FedEx short that's been going on for months. But for the most part, this is how I'm doing that whole volatility warning thing. And that is why I'm right now kind of focused on what's next. Because one of my things that I have really focused on is the volatility that isn't buyable. In other words, there's distribution that happens in a top, like in COVID. I had seen it for a month. It was a really strong distribution where the SPY kept grinding higher, but the selling, the net selling under the surface was picking up speed. And so that's a divergence. That's my intermarket analysis. So I really, really, really felt confident that we were going to have some currency volatility that was going to lead to equity volatility, and we crashed. and it was very well timed. But then people were like, buy the dip, buy the dip, buy the dip. We're accustomed to it. But that volatility did not look done going down. I was really pressing clients to stay short. And it wasn't until Monday, March 23rd, 2020, when Fed came in to intervene, and it was also the Monday following a very large options expiration on Friday, the Friday before, that we stopped going down. And then you know the rest. We have, you know, we started with 9 trillion globally, we went to 23 trillion in liquidity, and now we've got fiscal on top of monetary policy that's being very, very accommodative. So long story short, we had a massive rally for the past, you know, since March of 2020, right up until September 8th, 2021. So it's been a fabulous year and a half of outsized gains, and I'm now looking for the same setup. So long story short, I'm worried about that, but I need confirmation and follow through. 5% does not make for a top. In other words, a 5% drawdown does not make for a market top. So I am gonna, you know, I don't have a crystal ball 6 months out, but I'm definitely gonna stay very focused on volatility and sector rotation and what gets bid up next. But that's really my focus, is, you know, why a stock or underlying asset moves the way it does, what to trade specifically, and then how to trade it. Basically, I'm processing all of that news and price movements and anticipating volatility. I wanna answer any questions also, if you have any questions about stocks or currencies, commodities, cryptos, bonds, because that's basically, you know, what I offer for clients in the morning session every day. And now that the FOMC announcement is out of the way, I have a better feel for what that looks like. I'm still going to be looking for VIX levels. It's not just a macro backdrop or event risk. For example, today, there's a lot of intermarket divergence that comes to the fore of anticipating volatility. And some of it is proprietary. Some of it's, you know, over the counter, so to speak, stuff that you can find anywhere. But for the most part, confidence comes really from that technical analysis and what I call time frame congruence. So if I'm looking at this hour, day, and week time frame here, right, I'm looking at, here's a perfect example. So look at SPX, okay? SPX, this is kind of busy. That was the March 23rd intervention low. We were extremely oversold, okay? Went down to 2,200. And over in this section, it started to kind of stabilize, consolidate. We broke out, we pulled back. We broke out, we pulled back. And this was very important day. It wasn't just the election, okay, which, you know, is part of it, the Dems and the perceived fiscal stimulus, but it was also the Pfizer vaccine announcement. So that was going to help the COVID pandemic and get folks back to work and the economy back, you know, to working. So this is the 10-week moving average right here. And I use this with clients for trend trading across any stock or asset. And basically every time that this pulls back since the November, you know, huge, right, expansion, if you really want to go back to this expansion bar, like I'm trying to get a cleaner version of it. I really don't have a cleaner version of it. Okay, there. All right. So we got the Fed intervention right here, and that's bullish engulfing, put in a bottom. And then we got the Pfizer vaccine here, and we have now stayed above the 10-week moving average. We might have pulled down to it. We also pulled down here, but we got supported. We pierced it. We closed above. Broke out again. Shallow pullback. Solid breakout. We went sideways a little bit. Pierced. Didn't close at all. Below it. Keep going. Again, shallow pullback. Breakout. Shallow pullback, didn't close above it, I mean below it. Okay, this is a recording. We keep going, right? A little pullback, but nothing right now has said since this Pfizer vaccine and Biden bid and the blue wave, all that happened earlier, you know, at the end of last year, until this week. What happened this week? We broke the 10-week. So this is risk. This is a lot of risk. If we do not get back above the 10-week, we're probably going to falter here and then start to roll over. So that's what I'm looking for. And then I'm going to look for the intermarket stuff to, you know, support or deny. VIX, how we closed. This is a Bollinger Band that's starting to expand outward. This oscillator is showing it's really strongly bid. So intraday, we did, of course, pull back, right? But we're still above the 200. And I had mentioned to clients when we had this big move on Monday, I said, okay, well, if we stay above 2520, it's market bearish. If we come back in, it's market bullish, and boom. We had a very strong mean reversion trade, and it just so happened to time with the 100, and that was my price target. I have a lower price target, but for right now, we're not there yet. Right now, we're just digesting a 5% drawdown, coming back in post-Fed, pushing the tapering out to November, and now we're going to see what happens on Friday and next week. So that's kind of what I'm talking about with the whole volatility thing. I do also use a algo that I created. Actually, I had created. I had been using it in my trading for a long, long time, and then I basically gave it to developers and said, could you build this? Put it in math language so that it will let us know literally when volatility is coming into the ETF, right? This is definitely for do-it-yourself traders. It's $40 for each one, and it basically sends you alerts when it turns bearish to bullish or bullish to bearish. So it's pretty cool, and I've got them across half-hour time frames, then the daily time frame, and this is portfolio hedging. But it basically works on this concept. It's algorithmic trading signals, and they alert changes in market direction, but it's using the whole concept of volatility to reprice, or to basically stay in the direction of the trade, but then when volatility looks like it's going to be coming into that particular sector, to be alerted so that you can either protect your profits or literally sell it or directly short it. So these are intraday moves. It also helps with managing swing positions, definitely gives more confidence. And then with portfolios, knowing when to hedge. Not everyone is, you know, managing portfolios. Some are just chasing, a few hours in the morning and that's it. They're done for the day. But this is definitely helpful in the volatility timing. So definitely want you to, if you're interested in that type of standalone indicator, under on my website, LeDucTrading.com, you'll see my Fishing Club membership, which is the live trading room and all the macro to micro analysis. Risk Indicators is, in fact, that product. And then for anyone who's interested, in June, launched a fabulous new product for community-driven. Like, so mine is more macro to micro, and you get all of me and all of my discretionary analysis and trade setups. But if you're looking for more of a community, I hired a fabulous woman. She's young and very good trader for momentum style trades. And her name is Rithika. And we've added actually two women to this Discord server. So now we're really growing that women's trading desk. So literally, I'm a big proponent of women in finance and trading. So putting my money where my mouth is and hiring women who are contributing. Right now, we've got over 3,000 members, and we just launched it in June. So if you're, it's very, very affordable price point. Also, if you're into looking for a community and you're more focused on the chases, that's definitely a great consideration. You do get my chases as well as my market thoughts, but none of the other secret sauce. That you have to go into my fishing club. So some of the things that I teach are related to also how to manage the volatility of your trades. And like I said, chases, it's not really selling premium and collecting premium in options so that, you know, there's no directional movement. It's very much chasing something that is moving, okay? So it's a shorter duration, a few hours, a few days. And they're typically options that I'm using 1 to 3 weeks out. And I'm, for the most part, working from an hourly chart, okay? So everyone has their own distinct style of how they manage their own time frame, but this is mine. I'm sharing mine. Swing trades are typically 1 to 3 weeks out in time. I'm expecting some volatility to come into it, right? So that would be something where I'm literally anticipating volatility coming into a trade versus chasing something that's already moving because volatility has come into it. Does that make sense? And then trend trades is where you really don't want too much volatility. For example, this SPX is a great, example of that. You really don't want too much volatility, and then boom, we have some volatility. So we're starting to get into this distributed market, and that's, where we get profit taking. That's where we have some narrative change. That's where we have, tops. So right now there have been some fabulous durable trends, but I'm now looking at the market going, getting a little worried here. We're getting a little toppy. Doesn't mean we can't have some parabolic surge, but what else can we get? We've had, earnings, we've had vaccine rainbow. We've had Fed passing out ponies. We've had, just tons and tons of liquidity in the bank hedging markets. We've had tons of retail trading liquidity. Basically, it's at some point, this will start to go into distribution and we'll start to experience a new regime in volatility. So I just kind of, I'll be sizing that up and sharing that with clients first. But there's, stuff that I trade, stuff that I share in regards to options and the time frames. But I wanted to give you that general gist of how I'm looking at volatility for chases, swings, and trends. I'm trying to basically avoid volatility in trends. I'm anticipating it for swings, and I'm chasing it in chases. So what questions? I'm happy to answer any. And by the way, before, gets into technical analysis or what have you, I might not have mentioned that LeDucTrading.com, my website, LeDuc Trading Channel is my YouTube, and LeDuc Trading Discord, it's all up, it's all from my website, but I want you to just, sign up, stick with me. I'll post. I'm not so frequent in posting on my YouTube channel. I need to get back into that. But I also am on Twitter, and you can follow some of my kind of macro and theme ideas, like I've been posting for the past year. Inflation is sticky and what that means. And then warnings when I do come up with some, solid concerns about volatility entering. I'm pretty good at that. For FDX? All right, let's do that. So FDX, first and foremost, I have to go back on this one because it's an example of my intermarket stuff. I was talking about this in an interview yesterday, UPS actually. But back when we had this COVID crash, okay, I had done an intermarket analysis with IYT, which is transports relative to SPY. And it looked incredibly oversold, Let me just show you this real quick. We'll get to FedEx because this is kind of the whole point. We'll do FedEx in just a minute, but let me get my IYT chart. Here it is. All right, so it was here. Some of you will think this is really cool and others will think this is way too geeky, but this is IYT to SPY. It's a ratio chart, okay? In COVID, we were demolished, okay? This low right here is 2004, ridiculously oversold. Not 2016 low, not 2008 low, but 2004. We're talking March 2020. It was an outlier that I really felt firmly would revert with velocity, which means they've sold off rail, trucking, package delivery, all that stuff. And I thought it was ridiculous. So I actually recommended UPS and FedEx here. And I have followed this intermarket tell, okay, for the whole time. Like I do this every day, every week, depending on. This is on a weekly, so it's a weekly. We moved very strongly higher and then digested and then broke out higher and then came crashing back. When we broke through all of this stuff, I was also sizing up. Where's my FedEx? Okay, so this was the UPS. Boom, sideways, for lack of a better. You'll see it. And then boom again, and then this is distribution. So UPS has been in distribution. That was a double top. This is an H pattern. I see that going lower. FedEx, the same thing. When that transport ratio started to roll over, I was absolutely like, this is going to happen with FedEx and UPS. This is actually a cradle formation, and then here's the 10-week, right? We broke. Got a little supported, did this distribution for a number of weeks, broke down, popped up into resistance, rolled over, and then we had earnings today, and we're sitting on a kind of trend line support. But here's what I have written about for FedEx, and it's been a long time trade, so you can kind of see, hold on, from the, okay, so let's still working. All right. So we have, nope, that's this page. Long. Okay. So these are all the short targets that basically I kept giving in FedEx. It broke the 50. It's approaching this before 255 weekly support. UPS bounced in sympathy, blah, blah, blah. So basically I'm following up with all of my price targets in these plays because they are just so durable in their shorts. That makes sense. months. So for me, the price target that I just recently gave in FedEx before, and I also warned, by the way, we've got earnings going in, and there isn't a really strong edge when it comes to earnings, honestly. It can go either way. But the point is, we had a very, very big miss, and this is now into a kind of support for FedEx, but it closed miserably. So the price that I gave was the 200, which is down here on this 200 week, which is basically 217, but level by level. So the first price target was 227, then 220, and then 217 with an overshoot. I still can see this. Honestly, this is not a really comfortable feel. I know for anyone who might be looking at this as a potential long, we have to get back above this 100 week. And the 100 week is about 240. So no man's land right now, very oversold, and it can stay oversold for a lot longer than most people are comfortable. It did seem to stop right on a kind of support, this trend line, but that was a very poor report, and of course a very poor close. So UPS looks like, and I had mentioned 181 was my price target before heading lower as well. So we will get at some point some stabilization in these plays, but they were better shorts for sure, and they continue to be. What questions hit me? I have no. We got a few minutes left, so I'm happy to look at any particular plays that you're interested in. And this is what I do every day also, by the way. I go through about 100 ETFs, and I look to see where the rotation is. Like, what are they buying? Is it, you know, is it a commodity bounce? Is it sustainable? What's the narrative? China plays. There has been a fabulous short since February in the KWEB plays. And you can also see how it closed below the 10-week, and it has not been able to get back above the 10-week. We had a massive bounce when we got down here on this red trend line, which happened to be monthly support. We bounced right up into the 10-week and then rolled over again. So on a daily, it looks a little bit different, but and obviously on an hourly, you can chase all kinds of stuff. But the point is, my goodness, there is a ton of risk still in the China plays. And I would contend, yeah, FXI is still having a lower level. So let me explain what I mean by that. Sometimes I go out a little bit wider because of trends, but this is FXI on a monthly. You can kind of see this very, very big wedge. We overshot. It's called a fake breakout and then a fast failure. And then here's the 10-week. We tagged, we came back in, got rejected at that trend line, completely dumped through all the moving averages that matter, had a weak little bounce, and now we're going back down again. So I contend we're more likely to bleed lower than get any sizable bounce here for higher. So this is broken, right? And you can see it in KWEB as well. I mean, look at that. Stunning, gorgeous Morningstar reversal for those who are into that cradle, into that candle formation. Red, 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 big honking red, stabilization at a monthly trend line, a bounce into resistance, more red. So that's obviously big picture, but you get the idea. You can do it on any time frame, literally any time frame. Constellation, I'm worried about it. This has big investment in cannabis, and that whole pot space is just on the ground, right? Terrible, terrible protracted downtrend. Distribution of STZ, of alcohol, excuse me. Is already, this has been in distribution. I'm talking about distribution of alcohol. I'm talking about their brands. It had a fabulous, you know, move higher. And I think a lot of folks buy this, quote unquote, for the value trade. I haven't checked the dividend lately, but the point is, this is in distribution. It's going nowhere. So it's not really exciting to me. I see, in fact, a break below, a close below the 10 week. It's still here. It's on the 100. It can have a little bounce. But I'm not seeing anything here that's exciting. Stuff that was exciting for a while was stuff like this, right? This is the tower companies. Once they have a definitive bounce, very strong bounce. They've absorbed the sellers. They break out some kind of pattern and they pull back shallow, breakout, pull back shallow, breakout. Now it's getting a little bit distributive, but it's still not bad. So those are the kinds of things that I look for on a weekly. This STZ does not interest me at all. Energy energy and financials, I think, are way, this is USO just as a proxy. I think the price action is way ahead of the interest. So in other words, under the surface, there's a air pocket of risk. The price way up here, right, which looks all so bullish, and the draws have been oh so bullish, but all the oil and gas ETFs, which actually, you know, Exxon and Chevron and the rest, they all broke down below their 10 week. So they're not playing with this buildup in the oil price. Oil price seems to be way ahead of itself. That's my personal opinion or my professional opinion. I'm still waiting for price to correct. It has not. My thesis was we needed to get through hurricane season. The volatility of hurricane season would build up the price. And then once we get through it, it would come out. So kind of that volatility crush. So right now the volatility has kept it bid, but I think it actually, Robert McMinn is an oil trading friend of mine. That's all he trades. And he says, buy the forecast, sell the landfall. So yeah, I'm not an oil bull. Nat gas, yes, I have been actually since May. This has been a fabulous, fabulous trend reversal play. And then just recently warned that this was the trend reversal above this $15. We have a fabulous move in nat gas, but now we're pulling back to that 10 week. It got too extended, like solid parabola, trapped longs, and now it's coming back down. But just like BTU had a similar pattern, big bottom fishing play in coal. This is the 100 week. It had to digest here, you know, for a few weeks. Broke out, shallow pullback, breakout, shallow pullback, parabola into the 200, massive profit taking into this channel. That's the risk. But here's the 10 week again. Same thing with shipping. So this is volatility that you have to kind of track and say, okay, now what are we going to do? We just came back in and now we're breaking back higher. We're gapping back down because it got extended. PWR is another one that had been a fabulous trend play. Look at that, stunning. Scoop pattern, then it had earnings and it's held up here for 3 weeks. So it's all relative. This is engineering construction, has a lot to do with infrastructure. Speaking of which, infrastructure bill is getting pushed back even by the GOP, which had been bipartisan. So we have some more risks coming in. Debt ceiling, fiscal stimulus, infrastructure bill, Fed tapering, which is tightening of financial conditions, et cetera, et cetera. So for more on that, I invite you to definitely check out, long story short, either my fishing club, where the heck is it? I have a little picture. There we go. My fishing club membership, which is live trading room. It is all of my analysis, trade setups, et cetera. If you just want the big ideas, which I just kind of went over some examples of that, then it's a reduced membership. So it's $8.99 for 6 months. And this is one-time offer. I'm just not going to be doing this because in next month, I am launching a huge project. I had brokerage-triggered trade alerts built, and they're costing me a fortune, but they are directly from IBKR, Interactive Brokers, and TD Ameritrade, and prices are going to go up. So for right now, this is in play, and if you're interested, I definitely invite you to join, and if you are a little bit weary of that, then I invite you to drop into the Discord community. Obviously, you don't get all of me. I pipe in my market thoughts. I pipe in my chase ideas, but none of the trend or swing or macro or intermarket analysis. I hope that helps.